Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Manic Monday! Oh, goodbye, Manic Monday. Whew, it was a doozy. I still haven't started my taxes. Don't tell anyone. Just can be our little secret for now. Basketball was more important. Sometimes when I sit down to watch sports, when I have other things to do, I'll feel a little guilty. What am I doing? And then I remember, oh, it's for work. I get paid to do this. I have to do this. So yeah, taxes went by the wayside yet again. But it's my own fault for leaving my taxes until March Madness started. The best plan would have been to do them before March Madness started, but that didn't happen. So now that we've got these Final Four matches coming up, maybe a couple of days to breathe and soak it in and, oh yeah, download TurboTax and start my taxes. So don't be like me. I hope you're not like me because it's getting a little hectic. Manic Monday. Don't ask me why I decided to do laundry too, but there was basketball and there was baseball. And of course there needed to be a no-hitter because why not? That's just sports. There was even a piece of QB news from the NFL, which we won't spend a ton of time on, but still it was another one of those March Madness Mondays. It was massive. It was marvelous. It was can't miss TV if you're a basketball fan. Not a women's basketball fan, just a basketball fan. Definitely feeling and seeing and hearing the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. And whether it's young men or young women, as we've gone now from 68 in each of the brackets down to just four, we've seen everything you can imagine. We've seen emotions that run the gamut. They cover every spot of the spectrum. Young people and coaches who cry when they're happy, cry when they're sad. Sometimes they struggle to put their emotions into words, and other times they're unbelievably eloquent. We've seen class, we've seen grace, we've seen trash talking, we've seen competition, and boy, have we seen some good basketball. I'm not one of those people that would ever tell you this is the best we've ever seen or this is the best tournament we've ever watched, because I don't think it's possible not only to compare eras, but also to even for me to remember and barely remember what the tournament was like last year. But I do know this one's been damn good on both the men's and the women's side, barring that whole 3-point line not being where it was supposed to be. We'll just forget that for now. At least they fixed it in time for tonight's game in Portland. But one of the reasons that I always love sports, one of the reasons that I love doing this job, it's not for scores. It's not about results. Sometimes I don't even know the score. My husband came into the living room after the first game and said, "What was the score?" He was upstairs taking a shower. "What was the score?" I don't know. I don't even really look at the score. I know who wins. I know who loses. I generally have the idea of how large the spread, but the score is not actually what matters to me. What matters to me are the redemption stories. What matters to me are career journeys, career arcs, really the path that athletes walk to get from where they start to where they finish, or where we pick up their story to where they are now. I love history. I love seeing humans pass milestones, make memories, break new ground. And I love the emotion of sports. All of those are the reasons why I fell in love with basketball and then football and tennis and hockey and baseball. It's not about the wins and losses as much, because every year gives you a new journey, a new champion, this many wins, this many losses, and honestly, I can barely remember them from year to year, as I say. What captivates me is watching other humans pour heart, soul, blood, sweat, and time into pursuing goals and dreams. They just happen to be sports goals and dreams. And of course, there will be tears in the flood of emotions at the end. Spoken like a true emotional girl, I can tell you this. We cry because we care so much. And that's what I love about sports. That's why I love this job. It's why I do what I love, which is talk about sports or serve as a radio host and entertainer. Because it takes all of me. It takes all of us when we put heart, soul, blood, sweat, time, determination, commitment, when we make sacrifices for these goals and these dreams. And so, yeah, we cry because we care. I cry because I care. They cry because they care. And you get to this point in the season and you've left everything you've got out there on the court. And whether you win or lose, the emotions just come pouring out. And these are the moments that I love. And interesting to hear UConn head coach Gino Auriemma say tonight that sometimes getting to the Final Four is even more emotional than getting to the pinnacle and winning a championship. I thought that was interesting, but I could understand why. You fight through so much to get to this Final Four, which is essentially the promised land in college hoops. And yeah, you want to win the title. You don't want to come up short. Iowa certainly wouldn't tell you that getting back to the Final Four is the goal. Caitlin Clark wouldn't say that. But especially when it's unexpected and you've worked so hard, to be able to say, "We're back in the Final Four," and then take a deep breath, I can understand that. Especially when you go the first couple weekends of the tournament and you have to play back-to-back games, right? You have to play 2 in 48 hours if you're going to survive. And now you kind of get this break and you realize, wowzers, we are one of 4 left standing who could be NCAA champions. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Find me on Twitter, @LawRadio. I'd love to hear your reaction to the women's regional finals in Albany and Portland on this Monday night. A big Monday, if you will. The battle worthy of the stage. That's what I wanted. A battle worthy of the stage. And the game between Iowa and LSU, I actually thought it exceeded the hype and also raised the bar once again for women's hoop. Bravo to both the Hawkeyes and the Tigers, who definitely left everything they had out there on the court. That game taking place in Albany. And with all the controversy that has surrounded Kim Mulkey and the LSU Tigers, some that she generated herself, other controversy that was of no doing on her part or was not because of anything that she did. You'll notice, though, that Kim is not a wallflower. She does not blend in. She was born to stand out. And she is really good at what she does. And for her team to get back to the Elite Eight was a huge accomplishment. But this night belongs to Iowa, at least in Albany. And man, what a show for Caitlin Clark. Can you believe in two games against LSU, in two consecutive marches, she had 41 points in each of them. But it wasn't just her. The way that she includes her teammates and the way they stepped up, fellow senior Kate Martin with 21. Sydney Falter with 17 as well. Oh, 16, excuse me. 16 and 5 rebounds. This was a really impressive performance for both teams and the combination combustible. And so we will talk about Caitlin and Iowa and Angel Reese and Flau J. Johnson and the LSU Tigers and their battle in Albany with my friend Doug. I mean, he has a last name. I'll introduce him when he joins us in 10 minutes. He was there covering the regional for the Associated Press. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, and we'll be glad to have him here on the show. Let's start, though, with the game that took place in Portland, where they did, in fact, fix the three-point lines just because they thought they should be equitable, I suppose. And why not? This was a game between top seed USC and a surprising UConn, which is funny, right? When is UConn ever a surprise? But the Huskies, on the women's side, had lost five players to injuries this year. Five players to season-ending injuries, including two starters. And they were down to only eight healthy bodies. But not eight healthy bodies, really, that Gino Auriemma was going to use. He was going to ride or die with, for the most part, the five he had on the court to start. Three of them played 40 minutes each. And in both of these games, for different reasons, conditioning played a major role. This was the biggest stage for Juju Watkins in her freshman campaign. And boy, she was up for the challenge.
USC has the ball up top. Watkins has it. She's guarded by Beckers. Jabs takes a three, top of the arc. There's the new record. 899 single season points for Watkins. Most ever by a freshman in D1 history.
All of the calls on the Westwood One NCAA radio network, play-by-play voice there, Matt Chazanow. So yeah, Juju Watkins with another 29-point performance, 10 rebounds. Though she had a stretch there in the middle where she missed 8 of 9 shots, and UConn was able to pull away. But it was, as I say, a battle of not just grit and a major grind, but a battle of conditioning and a battle of players who had to push through any fatigue.
Outlet right wing, Watkins crosses over, spins to the lane, throws it up top, foul line catch for Davis, kick left side, Forbes wins the tie and has it, left wing triple, USC 8-1 run, we're all tied in the Elite Eight with 7:20 to play, timeout Huskies.
This was really neat. It was cool to see the tug of war between the two teams because USC would fall behind by a few points and they'd maybe take some questionable shots, or they would hurry with a shot clock they didn't need to. UConn would pull away by 7, 8, 9, even double figures in the third quarter. But the Huskies, not the Huskies, the Trojans would reel them back in. So this game was tied at 59 with 7 minutes to go. Now, Paige Beckers, remember, she couldn't play in the last two tournaments because of injuries. Really, not since her freshman year has she been fully healthy. But Gino Auriemma keeps talking about how she is the best player in women's college basketball.
Beckers with time on her side. Dribbles in half court, up 73-64. Dribbles the ball to the left. Forbes on her. Fires it up top. Edwards dishes right to Mule. 9 to shoot. Off of a screen from Brady to the left. Mule finds Beckers. She probes into the D, cradles the ball, hangs, floats, and switches. Beckers in the Elite Eight has the UConn Huskies up 11 with 90 seconds to play.
Once again, the calls on the Westwood One NCAA radio network. Yeah, UConn actually went up by double figures again in the final couple minutes, but missed 4 or 5 free throws, which made it a lot closer than it needed to be. But it was a late 11-0 run by the Huskies that get them back to the Final Four. And this one, I would say, a bit of a surprise. Again, because they were so shorthanded. Now, USC doesn't run super deep. They also go mostly with the top five that they've got. A couple players off the bench for a handful of minutes. But it was the same for both LSU and Iowa as well, though Iowa a little deeper. But you're talking about women leaving everything they've got out there. And so for Gino Auriemma, a record 23rd Final Four with UConn.
If you watch the game, obviously there's not a whole lot that you didn't see. You know, it was it was one of the better games that I've been associated with at this level.
I really want to credit UConn. I mean, they earned their way to a Final Four. I don't think we gave it to them. I think they earned it. Sometimes to have the perspective and think about what another team has been through, I think, is really important with the injuries they've had, with the way that Coach Gino adjusted throughout the course of the year. I credit them a ton.
That's Lindsay Gottlieb, who would have joined us again had USC won, but we did have her on the show going back a couple weeks, and what a coaching job for her. A lot was made of the lack of experience on this big stage for USC, and even though UConn hadn't been back to the Final Four in a couple years, so they lost in the Sweet 16 last season without Paige Beckers, they had players on their team, including Aaliyah Edwards and Paige, who had played through to the Final Four previously, whereas a lot of the Trojans hadn't gone this deep in the tournament before. But incredible, Juju Watkins with 29 points, 10 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 block shots in the final game of her freshman year.
It's definitely great for the game. Just these matchups, I think, will go down in history, the tenacity that was out there on the floor tonight on both games. I mean, I was trying to catch glimpses of the other game when I'm getting ready. But it was just a great great time. It's a great time in women's basketball, and very exciting. And I'm just glad that I'm able to be a part of it.
Not just a part of it, but the future. She's got at least a couple more years there. And so for her to... let's hope she doesn't use the transfer portal. For her to be a rising star in women's hoop and to be on this stage for the country to see before USC bows out is a big deal, because while Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese and Paige Beckers are the present, Juju Watkins is very much the future, and the Trojans are in a good spot. We'll hear more from them, as well as some incredible comments from Paige Beckers about her journey, as well as her advice for Juju Watkins. She's a great role model. A lot of these young women are. But want to get you our break. Coming up, the Albany Regional in the spotlight because it hosted not just Angel Reese and the defending champion LSU Tigers, but Caitlin Clark and Lisa Bluder and the Iowa Hawkeyes, who I think have a lot of America cheering for them, including my mom. Doug Feinberg will join us coming up next.
Your fever is high and the pressure to log in at work is too. But when you finally decide to take care of you, there's Instacart. Just because that one perfect coworker of yours is attending all meetings, camera on while she's sneezing, coughing, and aching, doesn't mean you have to do the same. Take it from us. Trying to stay on top of things will only get you further behind. Instead, get everything from tissues and teas to cough suppressants and comforting soups delivered through Instacart in as fast as 30 minutes. If anyone needs anything, they can just redirect their questions to that one perfect coworker of yours.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Inbounds goes to Martin to Clark. Step back straightaway three. Again, Caitlin Clark, unconscious. 31 points, 7 threes. It's 61-52 Iowa. A Folter will inbound to Martin on the right sideline. Dribbles out between the circles. 12 on the shot clock. Hands off to Clark as we approach 5 minutes. Step back right wing three. You've got to be kidding me. Caitlin Clark grabs her chest, looks to the crowd, matches a career high with 9 threes. She's got 37, and it's 80-69 in favor of Iowa as a Folter gets tied up with Reese. We're going to get a jump ball. Iowa wanted a foul, and it is going to head back to the Hawkeyes. 7.9 seconds to go. Inbound to Clark, and Clark is going to dribble out to the right side. The crowd is on its feet. Clark dribbles a few times. 1 second. Final buzzer sounds. Revenge is a dish best served cold, and it's on the menu for the Iowa Hawkeyes. A year in the making. They were denied a national title in 2023, and they prevent LSU from making it back-to-back national champions. 94-87, Iowa over LSU. We're going to have a new champion in women's basketball, and the rock and roll capital of the world will welcome the rock star of college women's basketball as Iowa off to the Final Four for the second straight year.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
On the Westwood One NCAA Radio Network, the Caitlin Clark barrage in the second half. Boy, did she start out that third quarter hot, had 12 points, and then even when LSU kind of fought and scratched and clawed to get close again, she was too much. She took whatever the defense gave her, and sometimes she took what the defense didn't give her. Another 41 points, setting up her teammates with a dozen assists, and Iowa is back to the Final Four. Caitlin Clark is the most outstanding player of that region. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. We're pleased to welcome AP National College Women's Basketball writer Doug Feinberg, who joins us now after covering this regional, or both regionals in Albany. Doug, was it both or one of them?
It was both, Amy. It felt like I was there in Albany for a long time this week.
Well, what was it like to be in the building for this game that was so hyped up and yet exceeded the hype?
You know, I've covered a lot of big basketball games, and the number one all-time to me still is the Arika hitting the shots for Notre Dame in the championship game in the Final Four as far as atmosphere, excitement. This was not far behind that at all. Even though it was a regional final, it felt like it was a championship game. The fans were into it from the start. The players played the way they should. It was an electric atmosphere.
How does the crowd react if you're in the building whenever Caitlin Clark hits one of those crazy threes?
I mean, it was probably 85% Iowa fans, which made it that much more exciting. And they just, it's trying to figure the way to describe it. It's just so incredible because you wouldn't think players can hit shots like she hits, and she does it routinely with no effort, and the crowd just loves it up and eats it up and just gets excited by every time she does it.
Angel Reese certainly is a star, too, in her own respect. They're completely different players, and yet, man, when she was out there before she rolled her ankle, she was grabbing rebounds, 10 of them on the offensive end. She had a bunch of points in a row that brought LSU back when it first got behind Iowa. How much did the ankle change things from your perspective?
I mean, credit to her for coming in back out and playing. She in the postgame said that she's not going to use that as an excuse. She had 17 points and 20 rebounds and was a force on the offensive boards and the defensive boards. I mean, she seemed to be a little bit slower getting up and down the court, and Iowa loves to run, and their bigs got down the court and beat Angel a couple times for layups just because Clark's such a phenomenal passer as well as shooter and scorer. But, I mean, she was playing really well before she got hurt. After she came back, she was still playing pretty well, but I think I was going to win no matter what happened with Angel tonight, the way that Caitlin was playing.
It's interesting because when you think of LSU's journey and the fact that for Kim Mulkey, this is a major accomplishment to return to the Elite Eight, everything they've gone through this season as the defending champion, and not to mention the attention on Angel Reese. Gosh, I didn't realize she has 3 million Instagram followers. I mean, she's in the spotlight a ton. How did you see them navigate a lot of the distractions and adversity that came their way?
Well, Kim is a pro's pro as a coach, and she actually did, I thought, a really good job in a sense of deflecting any pressure from the team onto her, in a sense, with the comments that were made by her about the Washington Post story and then later on about the LA Times story. It took a lot of pressure, I think, off of the kids and sort of circled the wagons for them and got them ready to just focus on the basketball game. Angel said after the game tonight that she'd gotten death threats last year after, I think, they won the national championship, which is awful. I mean, these are kids playing basketball, which should be a fun time for everybody. And to get any kind of death threat is not a good sign for society and as a whole to see a kid get that as right. A 20, 21, 22-year-old.
Doug Feinberg is with us after covering these regionals in Albany. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Well, in light of that, we know that the columnist for the LA Times did issue an apology today. But what was your reaction to his initial version of the story before the LSU-UCLA matchup?
I mean, I'll be honest, Amy. I read the first couple paragraphs of it, and I was kind of turned off by the idea behind the column. And I'm credit to the Times to actually go back and take some of the stuff out of there. It was really offensive. And credit to the guy who wrote it that he actually did an apology. It's not right that he wrote in the first place the way he did, but to own up to it, say he made a mistake and apologize for it, I give him some credit for that. But just, I mean, there were so many things wrong this weekend in women's basketball. That was one of them. That was off the court, on the court. Obviously, I'm sure you mentioned or know about the mess in Portland with the 3-point line being 9 inches too short, which was its own embarrassment. But thank God for tonight, having two great games, the present with Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, the future with Juju Watkins playing well. That, to me, is sort of what should be celebrated for women's basketball in the NCAA tournament so far tonight and this weekend.
Considering that every game Iowa's played this year has been sold out, and actually for the better part of 2 years now, including even a stadium where they're playing a preseason game and they managed to sell, 55,000 tickets, something along those lines. They're a major draw. What are you expecting in Cleveland?
I mean, it's sold out. It's you put the Iowa fan base with the South Carolina fan base, with the UConn fan base, and then you have NC State back there for the first time since 1998. It's going to be a really, really great atmosphere. I think it's going to be tremendous for the sport. I think it's going to potentially break some viewership records Friday night. I mean, UConn versus Iowa at prime time. What more could you ask for?
Doug Feinberg is the AP National Women's College Basketball writer with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. Let's talk about South Carolina. People may not realize that the Gamecocks lost their starting lineup from a year ago and a couple of reserves as well. How did they get back to the point where they're, again, undefeated going into a Final Four?
Undefeated and a team under the radar. Think about that. They're 36-0, and they're kind of not even the main story of the year right now, and they're not the top story in the Final Four. And Dawn Staley, who did a masterful job this year coaching this team, as you said, losing five starters and still having them undefeated and the favorite to win the national championship, just a credit to her and how great a coach she is. And she's exactly there where she wants them to be, not being talked about as much as Caitlin Clark is in Iowa and potentially UConn's going to be. She's happy to sort of be under the radar right now, as she said last night after they won to get to the Final Four. Let people talk about us after next Sunday when we cut down the nets.
Well, what makes them so good again this year?
Well, the young kids, they have are pretty good. Raven Johnson, who last year, if people remember, when they played Iowa, Caitlin Clark wasn't guarding her outside to basically dare her to shoot threes, and she wouldn't, or if she did, she missed. She was in the gym probably about 14 hours a day working on her three-point shot, and she hit a lot of huge shots this weekend. She had a big three when Indiana made their run in the Sweet 16 to turn a close game into about a three-possession game, I believe. And had another huge shot in the Elite Eight game the other night to get them to the Final Four. So they have outside shooting. Tahina Pau-Pau, who they got as a transfer from Oregon, is another great outside shooter. And they have a great inside game with Camila Cardozo, who said she's actually going to the WNBA draft after the season's over. She's foregoing her last year to do that. So they have an inside game with Cardozo and Ashlyn Watkins, who's a phenomenal defender, athletic, and you have the outside game now. So inside-outside with new players, but really talented ones.
Mm. We know that NC State has both its men's and women's teams into the Final Four this year, which is really cool. But NC State is the team that gets South Carolina next on the left side of your bracket. It's UConn versus Iowa. Let's talk about the Huskies, because even though they seemingly are always there, 23rd Final Four for Gino Auriemma and the Huskies, this was a really unconventional route. How do they overcome all those injuries, Doug?
Well, they probably have, as Gino would say, the best player in college basketball in Paige Beckers. And if she's not number one, she's number two behind Caitlin Clark. So you start with a really good player and a Hall of Fame coach, and you have a chance to win every game. And they're down, I think they have basically played 5.5 players tonight in their win over USC.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, he finds ways to get the team to win. They've had half their team, I think they have six players out for the year with injury. So he doesn't have that many options left. I mean, if someone gets in foul trouble, there's no one to put in off the bench. So he's just done a great job of fine-tuning what they do have talent-wise around Paige to make them successful. And this might be his best coaching job ever, to get this team to the Final Four with so few options to play.
As you point out, they did have multiple young women who were out there with four fouls and had to play that way. They didn't really have a choice. One of the things that stood out in this game is the experience, though. I know that Paige Beckers missed a good year and a half of injuries, but they did have Aaliyah Edwards out there as well. They got players who have at least been to this tournament before and been on the stage before, contrasted with what you were getting from USC, which was more of an upstart. And then you think about South Carolina, and they lost all of their starters versus an Iowa team. They're not completely intact. They lost a couple, but they do have players who were there a year ago. How much do you think that experience plays a factor?
I think it helps a lot in the sense that if you've been there before, the Final Four is zone bare. There's more media attention. There's more obligations than just stepping on the court and playing. And if you've been there before, you know how to handle it. And the coaches like Gino and Dawn and Lisa Bluter of Iowa, who was there last year for the first time, they have a better understanding probably than Wes Moore does at NC State. It's not a knock against Wes, but NC State hasn't been there. He's never been there. So that may help a little bit of an edge if you need one, but talent's going to win out. And obviously all those teams are pretty talented. And I think South Carolina is the favorite, but I wouldn't be shocked if you saw Iowa win the championship or UConn win the championship.
So as you think about this year, or even going back to last year's Final Four, when I guess a few people that I've asked have kind of pointed to that as being the time or the moment when America fell in love with Caitlin Clark and with this Iowa Hawkeyes team, and that's really catapulted the sport. You've covered women's hoop for a long time. Why all of a sudden are all these games on national TV? Why all of a sudden are people jumping on this bandwagon?
Well, Amy, I'll take it back a step further. I think when we had the COVID year, when they did the whole tournament in the bubble, so to speak, and people were kind of stuck at home, so they probably watched more basketball in the tournament, more women's basketball. I think that might have started this, and that was Caitlin Clark's freshman year, Paige Becker's freshman year. And then there was the issue, obviously, with the inequities, the weight room problem that Sedona Prince pointed out.
True.
I think that galvanized people to go, hey, let's give this a chance. Let's support the women. And people started to fall in love with Caitlin Clark. And just she's done everything the last 3 years to make you stay in love with her the way she's played. Her flair, her excitement, the logo threes, the dazzling passes. So that's helped. And I think networks have gone, hey, let's put them on TV, on main channels, and see what happens. I think I remember, and I may be off on one number here, but I think either 6 or 7 different networks that had Clark on TV this year had record numbers, record viewership. And that's not a mistake. That's not by accident. Mm-mm. That just shows how powerful she is. And then they see other teams play, other players play, and like, wow, these players are pretty good too. So I think that sort of helped turn it from a moment that we saw last year in the finals into a movement that you have now with, people are into women's basketball. I can't wait to see what the numbers can be tomorrow from the games tonight. I wouldn't be shocked if it's over 7 million people watch the Iowa LSU game tonight.
Ooh, and last year, the championship had nearly 10 million viewers. So it certainly was attracting eyeballs exactly a year ago. Before I let you go, Doug, because I know it's been a long day for you, I spoke to both Lisa Bluter and Lindsey Gottlieb and asked them this question. How does women's basketball capitalize on this momentum and continue to raise the bar? And I'll tell you what they said, but I'd like to hear your answer as someone who covers the game.
Well, I'll do it this way. When I was in Albany this weekend, I saw more media there nationally and locally covering the tournament in Albany than I've seen in the 20 years I've been doing this. And that to me is a healthy sign that there actually are people who are more interested in covering the sport. And it wasn't for their own ratings, their own trying to find things wrong to cover, the negativity of it. They were interested in watching Caitlin Clark, watching Dawn Staley, South Carolina, watching LSU and Angel Reese. Sure, it helped that there were the headlines with Kim Mulkey, but there was just a media interest in the sport. And I think this weekend helped people go, wow, they're really talented. They're really good. I want to come back and do more of this. So I think that has helped grow the sport. And there's enough young players out there like a Juju Watkins, obviously at USC, or Hannah Hidalgo at Notre Dame, or Madison Booker in Texas, that once Caitlin Clark has gone to the pros, and whether it's one more game or two more games, there's enough young talent that's caught people's interest that it's going to keep going.
And Angel Reese, too, has to make her decision about whether or not she will return to LSU. Okay, I lied. One more question. Sorry, Doug. How do you like this format where they've got two regionals at each site?
So I love it and I hate it. If that makes any sense. I love it because I get to see 8 teams play this weekend, which is great. And 2 of the teams that I got to cover are going to be in the Final Four in Cleveland next week. I hate it as a national writer because these days are really long. And you go from like covering a press conference, setting up the next day, to covering the biggest game of a team trying to advance to the Final Four. So that's the plus and minus. As a selfish person, from the media standpoint, from the logistics standpoint, it's tough to have 8 teams in the city if it's not the right city. I think Albany did a nice job. I've heard Portland did a nice job as far as like the outside stuff, the hotels and that situation. You have to find the right cities to do this in, and that is a big thing for the teams to have an enjoyable experience.
Do you think that college basketball or the NCAA will consider going back to what they did, or how about just using the format that the men do?
So I know there's talk about, at least for the first two rounds, trying to go away from the home teams hosting. I think that'd be a huge mistake. They have the biggest attendance they've ever had because home teams and home crowds can go to their games. And you saw more students at games this year than I've ever seen before for the first two rounds. The regionals, they're actually locked in for at least the next 2 years to having two sites. Maybe you could find two more sites and expand it back to the four, which I don't know if that's a good idea or not. The attendance is great in Albany. I didn't get a chance to see the Portland numbers. I'm guessing it's pretty strong there too. So if it's working, why change something that's working?
Gotcha. Good question. And rhetorical, so we'll leave it on that note. You can find Doug on Twitter at Doug Feinberg, F-E-I-N-B-E-R-G, AP National Women's College Basketball Writer. Just done with exhaustive hours in Albany, but man, what a treat to get to this Final Four that we'll have next weekend in Cleveland. And so he will be there as well. Doug, thank you, as always, for a couple of minutes. Great to talk to you again.
You too, Amy. Always a pleasure.
Good stuff to hear from him as he was there to cover this massive event with all the attention. And it did certainly sound like it was largely pro-Iowa in the building. Not that you don't have a great following for LSU, but these Iowa fans, man, we've had a chance to really get to know them over this year, and they are passionate and loud. On Twitter, A-Law Radio for me. On our Facebook page, too. I'd love to hear your reaction to the...
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's Big Monday.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
On the shot clock. Hands off to Clark. As we approach 5 minutes, step back, right wing three. You've got to be kidding me. Caitlin Clark grabs her chest, looks to the crowd, matches a career high with 9 threes. She's got 37, and it's 80-69 in favor of Iowa as a Falter gets tied up with Reese. We're going to get a jump ball. Iowa wanted a foul, and it is going to head back to the Hawkeyes.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Lance Meadow on the Westwood One NCAA Radio Network, the Elite Eight battle between Iowa and LSU. And while it was a rematch of sorts of last year's championship game, it was definitely not the same. Not the same stakes, not the same teams, not the same profile. And we'll see if they can set a record for most watched tournament game of this year that's on cable. Because once again, there was so much buzz around an Iowa game, not to mention all the conversation and the debate, the whatever you want to call it, the controversy with LSU. But I appreciate what Doug Feinberg had to say about Kim Mulkey, how masterfully she takes the controversy and the criticism and the distraction on herself, and she makes it about her and she deflects it from her teammates. We've seen her do that And yes, there was an apology issued by the LA Times writer, which we'll get to at some point on the show. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. I had people send me messages. I only watch this game because of Caitlin. I wouldn't watch any other women's basketball game. Well, great. Thanks for sharing. But you're definitely not the only one. There are others who would say the same thing, and yet there's so much excitement around these games, right? So you can tell me you don't care. You can tell me it's not a big deal. But in my career as both a play-by-play announcer as well as a talk show host, the buzz around the women's game is more than ever. And I think that's amazing. We're spending this entire first hour on women's college basketball. Caitlin Clark with 41 points, a dozen assists. Her milestones and records continue to pile up, and yet what they most care about is winning a title.
Caitlin, I feel like I've talked about her, like used every word imaginable to describe her. But I thought what she said today about her maturity has just grown so much over 4 years. I really saw that tonight. I mean, it could have been a highly emotional game. It could have been a lot of talking going on out there just from what happened at the end of last year. And honestly, she put it aside. She put everything aside. And so I think her maturity, her communication with her teammates was really good tonight.
I probably haven't been shooting it as good from three over the course of the last five or so games. But even if you told me that, I would still have 110% belief in myself and what I've been able to do this year. And to me, like, everything averages out over the course of the year. You know, I've had games where I've been 2-for-16. I've had games where I've been 9-of-15. Like, it all averages out. And I think that just speaks to the confidence that I have in myself and the time I've put in the gym. Like, I know I'm ready for this moment. I thought my shot felt good in warm-ups.
And then she hit 2-of-3 to start the game, though she did kind of go cold for a little bit there. Instead, dazzling with some of the passes through traffic all the way up the court. She's got those full court passes down, the way that she heaves the ball. Her teammates never have to break stride to catch the pass. In fact, sometimes they're even beyond them and through their fingers. A couple of turnovers mixed in there as well. But once she found that rhythm in the third quarter and hit 4 triples, Iowa was on its way to another Final Four. 1 hour down, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Here's why April chose to vaccinate her child.
I think actually meeting someone who was not vaccinated and now has a lifelong struggle with a childhood disease really cemented for me that it's super important that we as parents continue to vaccinate our children.
Talk to your pediatrician or visit whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.